Good morning.
Good morning.
Do I have this on? Good morning. Nope. Is it on now?
You're on and I'm going to go.
Well, good morning.
There we are.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John. Look at John. We're going to start in John 1, the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word, who is Jesus, we see down in verse 10, it tells us that the Word became flesh. He's been here from the very beginning of time. But he was and still is the cause of all the world's life. It says, in him was life. And that word life is the word Zoe, means the absolute fullness of life, real life, genuine life, a life active and vigorous, a life devoted to God, and a life that is blessed. It not only talks about physical life, but it also talks about the spiritual life that one can only possess through Jesus Christ and faith in him. But it also doesn't just refer to the duration of life, but it refers to the quality of life. Last week, Pastor Will talked about this, and he said, it's the fullness of life, but he used this term, it's the highest and best. Now, in the real estate market right now, if you're not aware, houses are selling for what I think are astronomical prices. And when Pastor Will used that phrase, the highest and best, he said that Jesus came to give us the highest and best price, or the highest and best life. My brain went to the real estate market. And so if you're not aware, what that means is it means that the buyers need to understand that the offer that they're about to present is not the only option that the seller has. And it compels them to put their best foot forward and hold nothing back. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave his highest and best. He knew that we were going to have other options in this life, that we could live other ways. But he said, I'm going to offer you the highest and best life possible. Because I know you're going to have other options, but I'm going to give you everything and hold nothing back. In the real estate market, when a buyer makes this offer, they have one shot to put their best foot forward. And that highest and best offer tells the seller, in essence, who wants it the most and what they're willing to pay for it. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants you the most. And he was willing to pay whatever it takes so that he could have you. Turn over to John 10. Keep your place there in John 1 because we're going to stay there. John 10:10, and we quote this all the time. The thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is Jesus talking. He said, I have come that they may have life, same word, and that they may have it more abundantly. That word abundantly is the word perissos, and it means over and above. More than is necessary, exceedingly, something further, more, much more than, superior, extraordinary, uncommon, more remarkable, and more excellent. See, sometimes when I read the word and I go into the actual Greek meaning of that word, I think, man, I wish they would have translated that differently. But then I have to remember, we were talking about this last night, that there are things that we miss because we don't understand the customs of the time. They knew exactly what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to give it more abundantly. Even the dictionary says it's superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above. Jesus came to bring us a life that it's just really almost too impossible for us to even imagine. The word says in him is life. Not just existence, not just that we're just born and we live this life, but he came to give us a life that's active and strong and healthy and full of energy. A life of superabundance, excessive, overflowing, over and above, more than enough, more than sufficient. See, if we can't have that life that Jesus gave us, how are we going to minister to other people? If we don't have if you don't have any excess, you have nothing to give. Amen? In the beginning, the Word of God shows us God's covenant for abundant life. From the very beginning of time, the Scripture shows us that he wanted us to live that prosperous life. In Genesis, we're told that God made everything, and then he declared it to be good. And then he gave this beautiful, plentiful earth to Adam. And Adam was given dominion over all of it. God's plan from the beginning was for men to be enriched and to have prosperous, abundant life. And in John 10:10, where we just read, Jesus declares his intention to recover and restore to men what was the Father's intent from the beginning, and to break and block the devil's interest to hinder our receiving it. Last week, Pastor Will said it this way, God's original intention for man are his eternal intention for man. If you turn back to John, verses 4 and 5, it says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word life, again, if you look at the Greek, it means of truth and its knowledge. Jesus was the very essence of truth and knowledge. He came, yes, to rescue us, to put us back into right standing with God, to forgive our sins. But he also came to show us that there were some things that we were kind of believing that weren't truth. He said, I am the truth. I want to give you the knowledge of the truth, the power of understanding. And then darkness. Oh my goodness, as I was reading through this, I'm like, this world is so dark. Right now, we were talking about that downstairs, that what was evil is now good, and what is good is now bad. In the eyes of, I don't think it's a majority, but in the eyes of the voices, the loud people, whatever that you want to call them, people who are talking so much. But that word, it says that the darkness didn't comprehend it. And that word comprehend can have three, it's capable of three interpretations. Number one is to lay hold of or to seize or overcome. So that verse could read, the darkness does not contain control of the light. It also can mean to perceive or think with your mind. With that meaning, it can be translated, the darkness is unreceptive and does not understand it. And we talked about that a little bit downstairs. You know, until you know Jesus, you can't understand it. The Word of God we read downstairs this morning says it's foolishness to those who don't know him. They can't understand, they can't comprehend it. But Jesus Christ came to give us the absolute fullness of life. He's the illumination of truth and its knowledge, which overcomes all of the gloom, the evil, the sin, the ignorance, all of the darkness of this world. And it says that the world will never be able to gain control of that light or stop it. They won't be able to understand it, but they'll never be able to put it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 10 of chapter 1, it says, Jesus was in the world, but the world did not know him. They didn't recognize who he was. See, they didn't recognize the truth of who he was. As a matter of fact, they mocked him and wanted to crucify him because of who he said he was. They couldn't accept that truth. They didn't recognize it. They didn't have that personal experience. And then verse 11 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They didn't accept or acknowledge him to be as such as he professed to be. Jesus came to the world, to his own. Those who belonged to him, those who he helped create in the beginning of time. And they didn't recognize the truth of who he was. They didn't accept or acknowledge him to be who he proclaimed to be. And this is still true today. The world doesn't recognize or accept Jesus to be who he is. Not just that he's the Son of God, because you do have some people who say, yeah, I believe Jesus, he's the Son of God, I believe in God. But it's more than that. You know, he's your provider. He's your healer. Those stripes on his back that he took to redeem you from sickness, he's your deliverer, your peace, your comfort, your friend, your one and only way to the Father. See, if we don't know the Word, then we don't know God. And we don't know his character. We can't know him. We can't know his Son. We can't know the Spirit. And there's too many people walking around who don't know. I mean, just try telling somebody, do you know that it is God's will for you to live a life that is active and strong and healthy and full of energy? That he wants you to have a life of superabundance, excessive, overflowing, over and above, more than enough and more than sufficient. And see what kind of reaction that you get. How do they know? All they've ever heard is about judgment and condemnation. We need to be out there getting the word out about who Jesus is and what he wants. Does the church even believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe and accept and recognize all that Jesus is? Do you really acknowledge him and accept him to be who he professed to be? He said, I am the bread of life, Zoe. I'm the light of the world. I am truth and knowledge. This world here that we live in would tell you there are no absolute truths. Jesus said, that's incorrect. I am the truth, and I am the knowledge. I am the door. I am the way. I am the good shepherd. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door so that you can get to the truth and live the life. Yes. It's all encompassed of who he is. But it all boils down to this one question that Jesus asked Peter. He said, who do you say that I am? In Mark 8:29. Who do you say that I am? Do you say that I am what you've been taught? Do you say that I am what you perceive in your mind? Or do you believe that I am who I profess to be? So Jesus came to the world, to his own, to those who belonged to him, and they didn't receive him. But then there is a verse 12 that says, But as many as received him, as many or everyone who accepts and acknowledges Jesus Christ to be who and what he professed to be, to those he gave the right to become the children of God. Is this you? We have anybody here this morning? Is this you? Yeah?
Yes.
A couple of you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. He said, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Not because you're so awesome, not because you're so talented or beautiful, not because you pray, not because you fast, not because you're a good person, not because you attend this church or any other church, but because Jesus gave.
Yes.
Pastor talked about that last week. It's a gift. You can't earn it. It says he gave the right. But as he was talking last week, somebody can give you a gift and you cannot open it. Or you can open it and still leave it sit there and not use it. But it is a gift that we need to exercise, that we are the children of God. That right, Jesus said, he gave the right to become the children of God. He gave the delegated authority, ability, and privilege to become children of God. He gave you the abilities and privileges of a child with a father. See, you fathers out there, your children have abilities and privileges with you that my children don't have. You have rights and privileges with your fathers that I don't have. See, your kids have access to your home. They can come and go as they want. They can eat your food. They can sleep in your house. They can watch your TV. They can ask you for money. Mm-hmm. See, if my kids walked into your house and just went over to the fridge and started making themselves a sandwich, you would be like, well, what are you doing? But your kids have rights that mine don't, because your kids and my kids have different fathers. I want you to get that. There's different fathers. In John 8, turn over to John 8, verse 42, we'll start reading then. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Turn over to James 1. See, those who are in the world, those who haven't accepted Jesus Christ and what he has done for them and don't acknowledge who that he is, they have a different father. They don't have the same rights and privileges that we have as children of God, so why are we living on the same level as they are? We should be living above, because we have a different father. James 1, verse 6. James is talking about asking for wisdom here, but I believe that the same principle applies. He says, but he must ask in faith without doubting, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. See, he says you have to ask in faith.
Yes.
We're children of God. We have rights and privileges that God made available to us. But if we are going to ask for those, we have to ask in faith without wavering, because he says, if you waver, don't expect that you're going to receive anything. If you're going to ask for something from someone, you can't do that if you don't know the truth. You cannot ask for something without believing, without a doubt, that you're going to receive it, unless, number one, you know that the person you're asking has it to give. Number two, that the person wants you to have it. And number three, that this person has the ability to give it to you. And if you don't know the word, if you don't know Jesus Christ's delegated authority, ability, and privilege to you, that he already provided you with peace and health and prosperity and righteousness and everything else that salvation includes, you cannot and you will not ask him. And you're certainly not going to use any authority to claim what belongs to you. If you don't understand your position as a child of God, you will not operate in what God has made available to you. But you have rights and abilities to have the life that God intended and Jesus bought back for you. I mean, imagine if you've got a refrigerator full of food and your kids kids just keep coming and saying, I'm so hungry. Well, go get something to eat. You know, it's there. It's available. Do you have it to give? Do you want them to have it? Are you able to provide it? Yes, it's right there. I've got it ready for you. It's all there. All you have to do is go get it. But yet they just keep just whining because they don't have it. You know, we've got to understand that being a child of God is a position, just like righteousness is a position. He placed us in that position to have the rights and to partake of everything that he provided. Everything, it says in 2 Peter, that pertains to life, there's that word again, and godliness. Everything we need in this life. See, there's things that we need here in this life that we're not going to need when we get to heaven. That he didn't provide them for when we get to heaven. We won't need them up there. We need them now. We need them here. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3 from the Passion Version, it says, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. The thief, the devil, is the one who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus came to bring life. Jesus came to bring the opposite of what the devil would like to have for you. James 1 says, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift is from God. And Jesus came to reveal. Jim, again, almost got right into the sermon this morning. But Jesus came to reveal, if you go back to John chapter 1, down to verse 31, it's talking about John the Baptist, and it says, but that he should be revealed to Israel. See, John's purpose in baptizing Jesus was to reveal him to Israel. And that word reveal means to make visible what has been hidden, to become known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood who and what one is. See, Jesus didn't come to hide anything. He came to reveal to us the character of God. He came to show the world who God is, what God's will is. He came to reveal what had been made hidden, to make known and plainly recognized and understood what God is and his will for mankind. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He made you. And then he placed you back into right standing with God when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And you're going to live forever in the presence of God Almighty because you've recognized and accepted as truth who Jesus is. Glory to God. I mean, that's going to just be fabulous, but we don't have to wait to go to heaven and just muddle through this life just waiting to get there. He said, I came to give you abundant life. I'm not going to need abundant life when I get to heaven because it's already all going to be there. There's not going to be any sin there. I got that. You would not believe my house in heaven. It is just amazing. Amen? But I need it here. I need things here to live in this world. We need to learn to live in the revelation Christ came to show. Live in the prosperity. And by the way, that's not just talking about money. It's not just talking about wealth. Prosperity is the condition of being successful and thriving in every area of your life. Amen. He said, I came to give you good success, yes, to to make your way prosperous. It's favorable circumstances. We have favor. The word says we have favor with God and we have favor with man. Live the life of a child of God. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. You might be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor Karen, I've never heard this teaching like this before. As a matter of fact, I've heard the opposite. Well, that's fine. I don't ever want you to believe anything that comes out of this pulpit just because we said it. Get into the Word. See what the Word says. If what we say up here doesn't line up with the Word of God, then just let it go. But if it does, let it change your life. He said, Jesus said in Mark 7:7, that in vain they worship me. I don't worship God in vain. You know, and he talked about in that one scripture that they glorify me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. That just breaks my heart. I don't want anything to be lip service. And it's got to be your heart. Your heart to worship him. He says, they worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were very religious. And they taught a lot of things. But they taught a lot of doctrines of men. If we're not careful, we can be the same way. We start teaching doctrines. We start teaching things that we've learned as doctrines and as truth without backing them up with the Word of God. We need to be really, really careful. Because then down in Mark 7 and verse 13, he says, making the Word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. Don't live a life less than what God has provided for you. By placing words and traditions of man above the message of God. This is truth. Absolute truth. And knowledge. Jesus came to reveal the truth. He came to reveal the knowledge of who God is. And it says that he defeated Satan and he made a show of him openly. He showed the world who Satan is. He's a liar. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. But you don't have to let him do that. Turn over to Colossians. See, your position of righteousness, your position as a child of God, and whether you choose to operate in it affects every area of your life. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not worthy. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're not good enough. Because it has nothing to do with you. It's a gift. It is a gift that God gave to you. Don't let the enemy belittle the position that God has placed you in. Because he paid a great price to put you there. He gave his highest and best that he had to give. In Colossians 2, verse 8, it says, beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. You know, we sang that this morning, my eyes above what it looks like, my faith beyond what it feels like. I'm not in this world system. The Word of God says that we're in the world, but we're not of it. Jesus said that when he was praying to the Father in John 17:16. That word world is the arrangement or constitution, order, and government. We're in it. We are smack dab in the middle of it, but we're not of it. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors for Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and we are to act as an ambassador for Christ. So I actually went to the official ambassador website. ambassador is. It says, an ambassador is a diplomat officially sent abroad by some sovereign state or ruler with a legal commission and authority to transact business on behalf of his country with the government to which he is sent. He is a minister of the highest rank and represents the person of his sovereign. The host country typically allows the ambassador control of a specific territory called an embassy, whose territory, staff, and even vehicles are generally afforded diplomatic immunity to most laws of the host country. See, we don't live under the father of lies. We don't live under the government of this world, because this world belongs to Satan. The Word of God says Satan's the god of this world. We don't live under him. We don't live under his rules and his regulations. We are ambassadors sent by God with a legal commission and authority to operate in this world on behalf of Jesus. We got the highest backing imaginable. We're ministers of the highest rank, and we represent Jesus on this earth. We've been sent into our territory. You've been sent into your workplace, into your communities, into wherever it is that the Lord places you. You have been sent, and you have immunity to the law set forth by Satan. I don't know you anymore. I mean, if we could just get a hold of that. You know, we live under the rules and the regulations of God. And because of this and this alone, because we are righteous through God in Christ Jesus, because we are children of the living God, we are to live more abundantly. We have the right and the ability to live a life of superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient, and on and on and on. Jesus came to reveal the truth and knowledge of our God-given position. The word says that he came to set us back in that position where he had created Adam in the beginning. He bought all that back. See, God never changes. God's desire for mankind never changes. What he made in the beginning, that's what he intended. But he knew man was going to fall. And so he sent Jesus to restore us back to that position. And if we would just start using that authority and that right that he has given us over the situations in our lives, over our families, over our finances, over everything. He said, he gave to Adam the whole earth, and he said, subdue it and keep it under. And then we all know Satan came up and he started yippee-yapping, and he does the same thing to us. Well, who do you think you are? What makes you think that you can, what makes you think that you need to have all your bills paid? Maybe God wants you poor. Get behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus said, yes. It is written, my God shall supply all of my needs according to, oh, wait a minute, his riches and glory. Not mine, not my bank account, not my job, not anything. His riches and glory. And oh, by the way, you know what? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His resources are endless.
Amen.
He is well able, above and beyond, to meet every single need that I have.
Amen.
And then the little Satan, he'll leave for a while. He left Jesus for a while, and he comes back. But if we don't know the word, if we don't know that, then we just start meditating on it. Well, maybe. Maybe that's true. We have to know the truth. We will be destroyed without knowledge. We will be so easily destroyed. But Jesus came to reveal that truth and reveal that knowledge to us so that we could live that abundant life that he said, I came to give them abundant life. Not just life, not just existence, not just so that their sins would be forgiven and they can just muddle along and barely get by here and struggle until they get to heaven. He said, I give you abundant life. Because we're his ambassadors. Are ambassadors not taken care of from the country from which they were sent? Yeah, they don't rely on the government where they're positioned to supply their needs or to take care of them. Their country takes care of them. Our God takes care of us. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand. And Father God, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you for the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you gave your son for us because you loved us that much and we were that important to you. That you gave your highest and best so that we could live the highest and best life here possible. Help us to walk in what you have called us, to walk as children of God, but to walk as ambassadors for you. To tell the world about you. To tell every person that we come in contact with this week about you and your goodness and what you've done for them. They can't receive it if they don't know what you've done. It's like this gift that's prepared for them, and it's all wrapped, and it's ready to give, but nobody's showing it to them. Did you see this gift over here that you have? Did you know this gift that God gave for you? They don't know. Lord God, I just thank you that you would just bring people across our path, that we can share your love and share your truth and bring them into that position where then they can be called the children of God. We just give you glory and honor and praise for everything that you're going to do this week, everything you're going to do in us, everything that you're going to do through us. And we just magnify and praise your name. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just want your presence. We want your presence, not only in this place when we worship you, but we want your presence to be felt strong in us. That we just commune and talk with you every moment, allowing you to lead us to the place where you want us to be and show us the things that you want us to see and use us in the way that you want to use us. I just give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.